Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 27. Romans, chapter 3, verse 27. And let's stand together as we open our Bibles. Romans, chapter 3, as we continue our series, No Condemnation. While you're standing and turning, I want to say, Brother Williams, the song selections today have been outstanding. And every song has brought us to the foot of the cross. And that's exactly where we need to be today, and I appreciate that. And thank you for the beautiful song we just heard. And I always enjoy a song I've never heard before that's so wonderful and doctrinally sound, and so I appreciate that. And I don't usually just get up here and make a lot of mention of things, but I just felt led to thank Brother Jessup and Brother Linder. How many of you have noticed we have had some serious wind the last few days, and it's normally not like this, Brother Jessup. It really isn't, but I think we've had more rain and maybe more wind the last month or so. But I appreciate you men, along with some others. I don't know who all was out there with you. If it was Brother Helms and maybe some college guys, but they were bringing in loads of tumbleweeds, taking them out to our special acreage we have just for tumbleweeds out here. And we actually got a permit the other day from the fire department to burn those things. So if you want to have a good bonfire, it'll be next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. So, but it's been a crazy time. But, you know, when I pulled up tonight and saw, and Brother Jessup has, he has real authority in our ministry and oversees much of our ministry operations. And yet I just saw some true servant leadership out there tonight. And I appreciate that. And that's the greatness of Lancaster Baptist Church, is just having a heart to serve. And I always love to see that and appreciate it so much. Romans 3:27, the Bible simply says, as we conclude Romans 3 tonight, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Tonight, in our Bible study and preaching, before we observe the Lord's table, I'd like to bring a message entitled, The Exclusion of Boasting. The Exclusion of Boasting. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you tonight for your grace and goodness to us, and we thank you for the infallible, inerrant, and preserved word that we hold in our hands, and for the great gospel that we preach and that we learn of here in the book of Romans. So, Father, as we conclude this chapter 3 tonight, give us a greater appreciation for the gospel, and then as we observe the Lord's table, a greater appreciation for the atonement that was made on our behalf. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Boasting. Boasting is a part of much of the human life we live. We hear it just about every day. We hear people reminding us of what's been accomplished, or reminding us of their favorite team, or reminding us of a record that they set, or a talent that they have. We hear of boasting in the political world. At this time of year, people want to boast about their accomplishments. We hear of boasting in the world of athletics, and oftentimes people talking about who's the GOAT, the greatest of all time. We hear sometimes, sadly, Christians boasting, but boasting is just sometimes a part of the fleshly side of life. And certainly, it could have found its way into the early church. And we find the Apostle Paul asking a question concerning the doctrine of grace that has been presented and the gospel that we studied just last week concerning the propitiation of Jesus Christ. And as he concludes this tremendous section on justification, we find that conclusion in verse 26, which says, "To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." We find that this entire matter of salvation is that God the Father might be just in giving justification, We find that it is all because of His grace. We find that it is all because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We find that it is God who first loved us. And so the Apostle Paul says, since it's in our human nature to boast, where is boasting then? Really, what do you have to boast about? Again tonight, I think we should start this message remembering that all of us are simply sinners saved by the grace of God. And that's why he says, where is boasting then? We see in verse 26 that we are blessed with the righteousness that can only be obtained by Christ. It is not obtained through the law. In fact, it is obtained without the law, we learned last week. All of this accomplished by God's grace, the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, a free gift to all who believe. This was the only act that could satisfy God's holiness and righteous demand for all sinners. One commentator by the name of Schreiner says of this paragraph that we'll study tonight, the paragraph has three major points. First, since righteousness is based on faith in what God has accomplished in Christ and not human works, boasting is ruled out. Second, the oneness of God demands that Jew and Gentiles are justified in the same way by faith. Third, Paul concludes that faith does not nullify the law, it establishes the law. And so truly we see a conclusion to the doctrine of salvation presented in Romans chapter 3. And so let's break it down tonight as we approach the Lord's table. First, we see the exclusion of boasting. The Bible says in verse 27, where is boasting then? It is excluded. Verse 27 begins with a question based on the previous five verses, which presented propitiation, which presented justification through the work of God and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And because of all that God has done for us, the question is asked, where is boasting? And the answer is quickly given, it is excluded. Let's say that together, it is excluded. And we see quickly that there's no room to boast about the fact that we are the redeemed. The word boasting speaks of the act of glorifying, sort of like the basketball player who hits the slam dunk and has to show everybody on the sideline his little signal, or has to thump his chest, or the football player that has to taunt the guy that couldn't catch him. Where is boasting? Well, there's plenty of it out there in the world, but it shouldn't be found around the subject of the gospel. It shouldn't be boasting that brings us together tonight as we observe the Lord's table. It should be simply gratitude that brings us together. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. This is the answer that is given. It is excluded. There is no room for boasting when God faces man in this way. The boaster will never get to heaven. The boaster who wants to say, I did this and I did that, will never find entrance into heaven, because we do not enter heaven based upon what we have accomplished. Boasting will not matter when we stand before God. The law of works includes boasting. And this was a problem with many of the Sadducees and Pharisees. If one thinks his works will buy him heaven, then boasting enters in, which is a sin if it is self-boasting. Suppose God were to take people to heaven on the basis of their human merit, human nature being what it is, the saved person would be up in heaven boasting that somehow he got himself there. And so God says, there is no room for boasting. Man cannot take credit for something that he did not accomplish. This is why the Bible says in Ephesians 2 and verse 8, for by grace are you saved. Through faith. Grace is hard for some people to understand. There's something about the way that we are wound up, logically speaking, that people think they have to do things in order to earn heaven. I spent a couple of hours yesterday with one dear individual just trying to explain what grace is. One of our deacons and myself today and our wives spent some time couple of hours with another individual, just trying to help him understand not only who Christ is, but what grace is all about. It seems that to a person who is thinking things through just with human logic, that their idea is, I must do such and so in order to attain, therefore I have a right to claim my entrance into heaven. But God says, no, it is not about what you have done. It is not about your boasting then. In fact, there's no room for boasting. In fact, Ephesians 2:9 says, it is not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works, lest any man should boast. That no flesh should glory in his presence. 1 Corinthians 1:29. 1 Corinthians 1:31. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Let him glory in the Lord. Folks, tonight, the fact that you're in here and not out on Skid Row, the fact that you're in here and not in some place of ill repute, or the fact that you're here with a family member perhaps and others perhaps are not, all of this is due to the grace of God upon your life. All because of the grace of God. Heard about a man that was bragging that he had cut off the tail of a man-eating lion with his pocket knife. And a fellow said to him, well, why didn't you cut the head off of the lion? He said, well, somebody had already done that. People like to boast. And yet the Bible is clear that salvation is a free gift and there's no room for boasting. The law of works includes boasting, but the law of faith excludes boasting. Verse 27b says it this way, by what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Faith is not a work. It is the opposite of the law of works. And because of the object of our faith, we do not boast. We simply give thanks. Faith is not the saving. Faith is what we place in God, and it is by His grace that we are saved. And so it is because of the object of our faith. Our faith must be channeled and placed into the proper object, and in this case, that would be the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is because of the object of our faith that we do not boast. We give God all the glory, and it is because of the gift of our faith. A gift has no self-merit. It has been freely given to us. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 4:4 says, now to him that worketh is the reward reckoned of is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So God says, I don't want you to present your works to me as a means to heaven. I want you to recognize it is to him that worketh not that the gift of righteousness is given. And so oftentimes as we witness and talk to people about the grace of God, in the back of their mind there's this thought, yeah, but, I know you have to believe in Jesus, but you've got to do this other stuff. And you've got to be able to do these things and those things. And then it'll all come together. But God says, no, it is to those who work not. Thus, the exclusion of boasting. If it is all of God's grace, where is boasting then? It is excluded. Notice not only the exclusion of boasting, but then secondly, the conclusion of faith. The conclusion of faith in verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Folks, tonight I think of the doctrinal ramifications of what we see even at the Lord's table. When we think about the ramification of the broken body and the shedding blood, this is where our justification is found. This is where our redemption is found. This is where our glorification is found. This is where our sanctification is found. It's all found in the finished work of Jesus Christ. I was telling this dear man today, I said, listen, he wants to study some verses I gave him. I said, study those verses. I said, but it's going to come to a place when you must put your faith in the finished work of Christ alone. There are many things we all learn after salvation about salvation, but we must come to that place where we realize the basic truth that Jesus Christ paid it all for us. Therefore, we see this conjunction in verse 28. Therefore, showing us that that which was stated previously is now the result. What is the result of the propitiatory work of Jesus Christ? That is, through grace and without the law, the result is justification. We are justified by faith. And oh, how we thank God for that. We are justified. This is what is meant in verse 28. Therefore, we conclude. I love that word in the Greek, logizomai. It is a word that means to take into account. Paul is saying, as I look at the spiritual books, I had a debt I could not pay. I was guilty. There was no hope. But Jesus Christ has placed paid in full on that debt that I could not pay. And therefore, I have no room for boasting. Therefore, I am justified by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Romans 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The object of our faith then is not the bread or the juice that we partake of tonight. The Roman Catholic Church teaches the doctrine of transubstantiation. They teach that the wafer becomes the body and the juice becomes the blood. We do not practice that type of cannibalism, nor do we believe that type of doctrine tonight. We are not worshiping the bread or the juice tonight. We are worshiping the Savior whom the bread and juice symbolize. It is Christ that justifies. He is the object of our faith. The object of our faith is not the elements tonight. It is not a statue of Jesus tonight. It is not a statue of Mary tonight. Jesus Christ is the object of our faith. And the justification of faith is clearly found through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Romans 10 and verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Jesus Christ is the end of the law. He is our righteousness. Nothing good about me in that sense whereby I might obtain some presence before God. It is all because of Jesus Christ. Galatians 4 and 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. We are justified by faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, we are justified without the works of the law. Now notice verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Let's say that together. Without the deeds of the law. Galatians 2 and 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And so we see in our text tonight the exclusion of boasting. We see the conclusion of faith that we are justified by the work of Christ, not by our own works. And then I want you to see finally tonight, not only the exclusion of boasting, not only the conclusion of faith, but the inclusion of salvation. The inclusion of salvation. Notice verse 29. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles only. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. God is making it very clear in the first three chapters of Romans that salvation is not available only for the Jews, but it is available for the Jews as well as the Gentiles. And we see the entire Word of God bringing us to this understanding, the Council of Jerusalem and other such passages reminding us of God's great grace for the entire world. How many of you are thankful that salvation was not made available only to the Jews tonight? Amen. I believe the Jewish population represents less than 1% of the entire world's population. It would be a sad thought to think that salvation was limited to the Jews only. And here we see that as God is teaching us that the law has been fulfilled in the finished work of Jesus Christ, therefore salvation is available for all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all people may be included in Christ's salvation. Jews and Gentiles are included. Now, the relationship between the Jews and the Gentiles of the first century was often very strained. And oftentimes there were difficult relationships from city to city. The Jews considered many times the Gentiles inferior. They considered their idolatry repulsive. They considered their many gods ridiculous. They considered their dietary practices unbelievable and unacceptable. They didn't believe that Gentiles could be saved unless they came under the law. If they would clean themselves up, if they would live according to the law, then they might be able to also have Jesus and be saved. And the whole book of Galatians deals with this problem, from which the entire concept of the Judaizers was placed into effect, and to which Paul wrote and debunked as he reminded them that we are set free in Jesus Christ and that we are no longer to be bound by the law as a way of righteousness. And so here again we see in the book of Romans chapter 3 that God is providing salvation through Christ to the Jew as well as to the Gentile. Now there is one God that can justify. Verse 29. Is he the God of the Jews only? No. Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. The point is that there is one God, and he is God over all mankind. And since all men come from one man, Adam, and all men have fallen, then all men who turn to Christ may be unified or reunited back to the Father through the Son. And there is not a caste system with respect to salvation. There is level ground at the cross of Jesus Christ. And then God is the God of the Gentiles as well. Israel failed in drawing the nations to their God, which was his purpose for them all along. And so God has opened the door to the Gentiles. One God can justify all men. And the justified become one people. Verse 30. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. There is only one God. He is the justifier by faith, both for the Jew and the Gentile. Since all have sinned, there is one way of salvation. This is why Paul wrote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And maybe that's why somebody wrote the song, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God." And it talks about being joint heirs with Jesus and being washed in the blood. And tonight, I'm thankful. It doesn't matter what your background is. Red, yellow, black, brown, white. It doesn't matter. Little bus kids getting saved. Kids getting saved over here at Jet Hawk Stadium. Someone from a broken home. Somebody whose daddy's in jail. Somebody that makes a lot of money and has a big job. It does not matter. If they come to Jesus, they're our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. There's no boasting in that. There's no boasting in even where you got saved, or even who led you to the Lord. Let him that glory in the Lord. He is worthy, he alone. The justified become one people. Jews and Gentiles are included, and the law is established. Now notice this as we close chapter 3, and man, we are going to move on to some glorious heights of theology in these upcoming weeks, Romans chapters 4 and 5. But let's just see something special here in verse 31. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Now turn, if you would, in your Bible to Galatians. Hold that spot there. Galatians 5:13. Because the law is not being voided, rather it has been fulfilled. And I want you to see this tonight. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. God's grace does not void the law, the moral law of God. Romans 10:4 says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Therefore, Christ fulfilled the law. The law is not abolished, it is rather fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul is putting a guard against common misunderstanding here. Some may say, some may have objected that if righteousness is not through the law, then the law is abolished in every aspect. And that is not what the Apostle Paul is declaring. The moral law is not abolished. It is rather fulfilled in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do not forgive ourselves through the law. Rather, we find forgiveness through the one who fulfilled the law, the Lord Jesus Christ. McLean says concerning this passage, there is only one religion in all the world that can save men and still establish, exalt, and honor the law. That is the religion of Christianity. All other systems that are based on legality, on salvation by works, dishonor the law because nobody ever kept the law. The inevitable result is that they pull the law down a little bit so that man can earn his salvation by keeping it. But God punished Christ, his son, for our transgressions. And in so doing, he not only saved us, but at the same time, he established his throne in the heavens as a throne of justice and as a throne of mercy. So do we make void the law through faith? God forbid. And thank God for the testimony of the law and for the teachings of the law and for the commandments of God that we believe and teach to our children. But we must always remember that the law itself was fulfilled through the perfection and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, and our righteousness does not come from the keeping of the law. Our righteousness comes through our relationship. Somebody say amen with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad tonight I'm not at church trying to earn merit. I'm glad I'm not here tonight trying to climb up a ladder of religion. I'm here tonight by the grace of God. Amen. And I say with the Apostle Paul, the love of Christ constrains me. The love of Christ constrains me. That's right. No one's got a gun to my head to do the things that I do, or no one's forcing me to do the things that I do for the Lord. I'm just so thankful tonight that he saved my sorry soul and that he chooses to use my life in some small way for his glory. Amen. Oh, tonight, all the praise and honor belongs to the Lord. There's no room for boasting. May there not be an ounce of self-thought as we take these elements tonight. As we take these elements tonight, from the lips of our bodies, may we be saying to the Lord, Lord, to God be the glory. You alone are worthy of the praise and glory. Tonight we celebrate the fact that God fulfilled the law through Christ. We enter this holy week remembering the sacrifice of Christ. May we never forget that it's all because of his sacrifice that we are one with the Lord. A pastor once witnessed a deathbed conversion, and he was asked by a friend, do you really think that a deathbed repentance could do away with a whole life of sin? The pastor said, no, but Calvary can do away with a whole life of sin. You see, there's no boasting, even in what I say, to obtain salvation. The boasting is all found in what Jesus did so that I can obtain salvation.